We want to study a certain paradox in Rosh Hashanah in its essence, almost a self-contradictory element. On the one hand, we feel emotionally the fear of Din. It's a Yom HaDin. We are being brought in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of the Kisei HaKovod, Kivnei Moron. Anyone who has any sort of feeling, any sort of emotion, any sort of a vision and understanding of what Din is and what this day is about, who could not be overwhelmed by a sense of fear. And everyone is nifkad kayom hazeh. The Python says, Malochim yechavezun, chilu rodi yechazin, yochezun. But yet on the other hand, Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. And the mitzvah of simcha applies, as the Shulchan Aruch codifies it in Tav Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Ochlim v'shosim, usmeichim Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is counted amongst the Moadim. There's a mitzvah of kavod, of kibud. There's a mitzvah of levush noya. We should dress appropriately. We eat the seudos, and we are smechim. And as Nehemiah says in Perek Ches, ichlu mashmanim, ushesu mamtakim, ki kadosh Hashem ladoneinu. How are we meant to understand and integrate these, what seems to be mutually exclusive feelings about Rosh Hashanah, the Emes HaDin on the one hand, the Simcha on the other hand? Aren't these absolutely contradictory? The Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis that there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Avo explains that the Malachi Asher said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, why aren't Klal Yisrael reciting Shira in your presence on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom HaKippurim? To which Hashem responded, Efshel HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Din, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanov, the Yisrael Omrim Shira, the books of life and death are open, and on this day Yisrael are going to sing Shira. And that's how we paskin in Tav Kuf Pei Dalet. There's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. So it seems that the song of Bnei Yisrael, which expresses in Hallel the great Simcha, is omitted. And we understand why. There's Emas Adin, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim. And once again, we see this tension in which a Jew feels that his life is in the balance. And that's contradictory to the atmosphere that's conducive for Shira. Let's quote the Mishnah Bura, who writes in Tav Kuf Tzadi Zayin again at the beginning, Afshu Yom HaDin Mikol Makom Mitzvah Shel V'Samachta V'Chachecha Shayach Bo Shegam Hu Bechlal Chag Kedeksiv Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chagenu. The Mishnah Bura himself is aware of this tension, so to speak, this complexity in the nature of the day. On the one hand, he says, there's a Yom HaDin. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah of Simcha Sachag. It's called a Chag. It's Bekes Liyom Chagenu. And as we saw in Nehemiah, in the Navi, he says that Tarshata, Ezra Kohen, and the Sefer, the Levium, and those who explain to the people that this day of Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Kadosh, L'Hashem Elokeichem, Al Tis'ablu, it's not appropriate on this day to be in a state of anguish, of mourning, Al Tivku, of crying, Ki Bochim, Kol Ha'am Kishoma Mes Divrei Torah, when the people heard the words of Torah, they broke out in tears. Vayomer lohem lechu ichlu mashman shumam takim shilchu manos liein nochon lo ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu al te'atzvu ki chedves Hashem imauschem valavim mechashim lechol ha'om lemar hasuki hayom kadosh v'al te'atzvu v'yelchu kolam lechol v'lishtos v'lishloch manos v'lasos simcha gedola ki evinu bidvarim asher hodiu lahem. such a great simcha on this day. Achilas mashmanim, shesias bamtakim, chedves Hashem. So why isn't enough of a simcha to recite Hallel, to sing Shira? And yet, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shebeshofar, from whence do we derive the conclusion that we have to blow the Shofar Rosh Hashanah? The Torah says it's a Yom of Trua. Maybe a Trua could be produced by other instruments, by Chatzotros or other instruments, Talmud Lomar, Ve'avarta Shofar Trua. In the parish of Yovel, the mitzvah is to blow a shofar trua at the commencement of the 50th year. Barash Hashanah Minayin, Tamalom Chodesh Hashvi, Shiu Kol Truos Shal Chodesh Hashvi, Zekazeh. The trua of the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei, should be the same, should be the identical trua both for Yovel and for Rosh Hashanah. And in the case of Yovel, the Torah says explicitly shofar. And the Gaon Mivilna apparently says that when the Gemara asks the question "Minayin should be shofar," the Gemara really doesn't mean that there was a possibility of another musical instrument that would produce the trua, but rather what the Gemara means is perhaps there is no mitzvah of tkiya. Perhaps the mitzvah is Yom Trua Yelachem, which according to the Targum is Yom Yevava Yelachem. It's a day of crying. And perhaps what the Gemara is really trying to establish with the tkiya is that Trua, which is Yevava, reflects the Bechia, the Ilulei Yolil of Yom Adin, the fear of judgment, to stand in front of Hashem and petition God, trying to ask for our very lives. That's Bechia, that's Trua, that's Yolala. How do we know that there's also a Tekia, which is the Tekia of Simcha, and therefore Chazal derived this from Yovel, that there's not just a mitzvah of Bechi, of Trua, of Yulei Yolil, but there's also an element of Tekia. And that's perhaps what Nehemiah had in mind when he said, "Vayelchu kol ha'am lechol v'lishtos l'shloch manos lasa simcha gedola ki evinu b'dvarim asher odiyu lahem." What does it mean, ki evinu? What was revealed? What became clear to them all of a sudden? And the answer is that the Torah tells us, "Vayikru b'sefer Torah Elokim mefurash." The Gemara says in Masechta Megillah Daf Gimel, what does it mean b'sefer Torah Elokim ze mikra mefurash ze targum? And it means that the ishtalshus, the entire procedure or the procession or the progress of Vinyanim, started with when Bnei Yisrael heard the Kriyas HaTorah from Ezra Sofer. They heard the Targum that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Yevava. They understood Kipshuto, that this day has to be designated as a day of crying. It's only after the Torah Shebal Peh of Mefurash that they understood that the Kavanah of the Torah was not just Yevava, but rather it's also a mitzvah Litkoa B'Shofar of Simchu, Simcha Gedola, and that the minhag of Simcha V'Yantav applies even to Rosh Hashanah. And now they understood the deeper meaning of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. That's what the pasuk means, ki hevinu bidvarim asher odiyu lahem. Now they understood retroactively what Ezra Sofer had read in their ears, read into their ears, what they had heard. And the question that we want to raise is, what is the relationship, the proper relationship between Bechi, crying on one side of the equation, and Simcha on the other side? On this very great sanctified day, what is the Hanhago? How should we, what state of emotion should we strive for? Are we asking the Jew to be in a state of Bechi, of Trua? Are we negating and over, trumping the Bechi element for the sake of Simcha? And the Beis Yosef quotes the Agur, the name of the Shiboli Aleket. This is an Aruch Chaim Reish Peches, that just as we saw in the Haggadah, meaning in the Agarita, that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were Bocha B'Shabbos. And, I'm sorry, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva found Rabbi Akiva, their Rebbe, Bocha on Shabbos, and they asked him, how can you do such a thing? Shabbos is not a day of Bechia, and his response was, Oneg Shali. For me, this is called an Oneg. The Ramah embellishes this in Archaim Reish Peches, and he says, V'chein mi sheyesh lo Oneg im Yivkeh, kidei sheyelech hatzar mi libo, the way he gets his tzar out, he expresses it, and he sort of rids himself of that emotional anguish, is by crying. The crying is a letting go of that tzar, is therefore muta livkos b'shabbos. In such a case where a person is venting his tzar through crying, through bechi, that's mutter. That's the way he's going to achieve oneg Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, in the name of the Taz, Hainu dafka im machmas rov dveikuso b'kodesh baruch hu, as a result of the overwhelming, profound experience of being close to Hashem, feeling that closest to Hashem, zolgin einov demos, his eyes start tearing. And the Taz explains that that's what we find in the case of Rabbi Akiva in the Zohar. He would recite Shir Hashirim on Shabbos, and he was overwhelmed by emotions. He would start crying out of joy, tears of joy. He understood, he comprehended how far the words of Shir Hashirim can reach. That's the depth of this profound relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein The Taz claims that this is something common to those who daven with a great deal of feeling. They get to the point where they can cry out of overwhelming dveikus. I will stam livkos kadeshi etzatzar mi libo lo. The Taz is unwilling to go as far as the Ramah and permit crying on Shabbos just to vent one's tzar, his anguish, and in a sense relieve himself of anguish. No, that's not mutter. What's allowed on Shabbos is a bechia mitoch dveikus, mitoch rov dveikus b'kodesh baruch hu, zolgin einov demos. Basically what we have here is a categorization of two types of bechi. There's a regular classical crying, which is an expression of tsar, and then there's a different mechanics for bechi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the nature of man that not only is bechi a way of solving his and relieving himself of his inner tsar, but it also gives a person a very good feeling, and it expresses a good feeling. If he's just, according to the Taz, relieving himself of tsar, he's freeing himself of the etzev and the despair in his heart, that's not allowed on Shabbos. It still is a bechi of etzev, and therefore, insofar as it's a crying of despair, it is mutually exclusive from Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of oneg. But there's another category of bechi, as we said before, which is a result of spiritual, emotional connection, of tara, of catharsis, and cleansing oneself. It's not from etzev, it doesn't emanate from a sense of despair, but on the contrary, from an inner awareness, in a very profound way, the dveikus, the closeness that he has with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a bechi of Rabbi Akiva when he read Shir Hashirim. He had such a powerful emotional experience from the reading of Shir Hashirim because he understood, he felt the dveikus. That kind of bechi, says the Taz, is permissible on Rosh Hashanah. So we have now Lechora, Rabbi Akiva's bechi Maybe Rabbi Akiva, we could say, if it's not a chutzpah, by nature he was a very emotional person, and his isragshus, his emotional state and his passionate state led him to Bechi. Now at this point in our discussion, I'd like to introduce some of the Hasidic insights and the Arizal that are formulated here in an essay by the Sefer Yenachamuni, Hamer Yenachamuni of the Tolna Rebbe. And he says, no, you don't find that that Rabbi Akiva is typically or characteristically guilty of this kind of a crime. On the contrary, when people around Rabbi Akiva cry, Rabbi Akiva's response is that of schok. He laughs, he rejoices. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masech Makis that the Tanoim, the colleagues of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Loz Ben Azari, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, they were all on their way and they heard the call, the voices of Romy. And, you know, the Romans were having a blast. They were enjoying life. They were partying. And the Tanoim started crying. Rabbi Akiva started laughing. And why? Harei li'ov deritzonukach. If those who transgress and violate the will of God, they will have this great simcha. Is la'osei ritzon alachas kama v'kama. Can we begin to fathom, imagine what the simcha, how great it would be for those who deserve reward, who are Osei Ritzono. And then of course the second story in the same sugya about the fox that goes out of the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Chachomim saw it and they got very down about it, they started crying and Rabbi Akiva was masachik, he was laughing. Another Gemara where Rabbi Akiva is laughing is in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Aleph. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kishachola Rabbi Eliezer Nichtuchzu Talmid of Levakro Omar Lahem Chama Aza Yesh Ba'olam Hischilu Hein Bochin Rabbi Akiva Mesachik. On the one hand, the Talmidim started crying, the Talmidim Rabbi Eliezer, and yet Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Rabbi Akiva always somehow successfully finds a spark of light that shoots out from the darkness. And he stands firm in his schok. He's not willing to bend on that schok. And that's the way, ultimately, that he consoles his friends and the other Tanoim. So Rabbi Akiva is not a Baal Bechi, if you will. On the contrary, Rabbi Akiva is a Baal schok, a Baal simcha. And the heart of Rabbi Akiva is like the heart of a lion. And he finds, even at times of Tsar and Hester Punim, terrible times in which God is not to be found, he finds a room for simcha. To see the optimistic view, the hope for a brighter future, the light out of the darkness. He doesn't go for the natural outburst of crying on Tsar, you know, in Sevel, we see Jewish suffering and anguish and start crying as the Tanoim did. No, on the contrary, in the evil, he finds the good of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He finds the hope and the consolation. So what is Rabbi Akiva? Is he a Masachik or is he a Bocha? We do find that Rabbi Akiva cried when they read the psukim that have Musa liodim tochochas chayim. This is the Gemara at the end of Masech the Kiddushin Pei Alephom in Beis. Rabbi Akiva ki moti lai psukav ibochi omar umam mishin iskavein lechol boser chazir v'yolso biyodo boser tle omar torah tzor kaporo slicha. In Parshas Matos says Vashem yislach lo. And this refers to someone who, in his mind, in her mind, had a plan to eat non-kosher meat, but at the end of the day, that never materialized. And yet, just for the thought process itself, there was a need for kapara for slicha. Is mishin is kami lechol basa chazir v'yol the other basa chazir alach has kam v'kam. What would be the punishment, says Rabbi Akiva, for someone who eats non-kosher food deliberately, premeditated? And here's where Rabbi Akiva melts like a crybaby. And those tears are tears when he realizes how tough the din could be against man. And he derives it from Vashem Yislach Lo. Perhaps we could say the following. When Rabbi Akiva read the Torah, this parasha of Haforas HaBaal, which means that after she took a neder, her husband found out about the neder and he was made for the neder, he annulled the neder and disqualified it. She was unaware of that. When Rabbi Akiva learned this parasha, he was misorer, he came to realize that there's room for bechi. And what kind of crying? It's a crying because of the Musar Haskil that we should derive from this parasha of Hashem Yislach Lo, that a person has to be sholem, he has to be perfect, belibo in his heart with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges man by his actions. And so the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Hey, Kishahoy Rabbi Akiva Magil Mikra Zelya Bocha Uma Hamariv Atzmo Kidesha Tishra Olav Ruach Tuma Ishora Olav Ruach Tuma Hamariv Atzmo Mariv Atzmo Kidei Shetishra Olav Ruach Tahara Allah has Kama Vakama. Rabbi Akiva understood that a person has to look and derive Musar Haskel, and when he does so, when he realizes a very fundamental, powerful, ethical principle, then he cries. And the ethics work in both directions. Either he sees the power of Ruach Tuma, or hopefully he sees the power of Ruach Tara. But Rabbi Akiva is overwhelmed by the nature and the extent and the far-reaching repercussions of an ethical principle, and therefore he breaks out in crying. And we can say for sure the bechi, the nature of the crying of Rabbi Akiva, is something that emanates from a lev tahar, from a pure heart, a heart that's sensitive to spirituality. When he sees and he contemplates the greatness of the creation, and he understands, appreciates the greatness of the Creator, the way God is minding the world, when he reaches this level of dveikus ben Hashem, and as the Taz calls it, sheyedat heichan advar magiyim, he, Rabbi Akiva, had a deep insight as to how far this dveikus with Hashem Yisbar could reach. He had such high understandings, hasogas gvos, of Derech Hashem, that's what brings Rabbi Akiva to an unbelievably fundamental hispalus and hisragshus, which expresses itself in bechi. This is the kind of bechi, says the Taz, that's permissible on Shabbos. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva was boche on Shabbos. That was his oneg. But sometimes a person will break, and more often than not, a person will break out in tears because of his anguish, of his tzar. How do we know what is the source, the origin, and the nature of this hisragshus, of this bechi? How do we know, how do we identify it as something that's hisragshus ruchanit, it's spiritual in nature, or it's just the tzar in his lathe, and he's venting, as we said before, the anguish of his heart? If you take a look in the Arizal, which is quoted here in the Ber Heitev in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Dalid, Hoyanoeg Livkos B'Roshanim Yom HaKippurim, the Arizal would cry on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he made a declaration. Anyone who doesn't cry in these days, something's wrong with his neshama. Ein neshmaso tova v'shleima. But rather, Misha Boche Oz Me'atzmo, if he has this natural outburst of emotion in crying, b'b'chia gedola me'elov, osa shah dainin alei b'bezn shal mat mala, V'nafsho merageshes ubolo abachiyah me'elov. As a result of that bechi, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, says the Arizal, the judgment up in the heavenly courts now takes a turn, a dramatic turn. And as a result, there are tremors that are felt here by the individual down on earth in physical, material life. And as a result, nafsho misrageshes, and he starts crying me'elov. So it's unbelievable. A person really works hard to cry on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then eventually he starts crying in a natural way. It's just a spontaneous outburst of emotion. We said, the pasuk says in Nehemiah, Chedvas Hashem Imauzchem, that we have to be happy on Rosh Hashanah. But let's be careful and meticulous about reading the words of the Ari. And we should differentiate between a bechi, a crying that comes, me'elov, in a natural sense, as opposed to a bechi that's a result of man's active bringing about that crying. In the first case of bechi aporeis me'elov, which is a natural, spontaneous response of crying, that's meshuvah u'meula. That's of the highest caliber. But there is a bechi that must be put in a different category. Not the bechi of tsar, of anguish, which is a result of stimuli from the outside, external stimuli, you know, as a result of things that happen to his life that depress him, chas v'shalom, make him sad, machshavos atzuvos. There's a whole different category of bechi, which is not prohibited on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a spontaneous kind of bechi, not through external stimuli, but rather it's olam e'elov. It comes from the inner depths and the neshama of the person. And that's the high level, lofty bechi that we saw by Rabbi Akiva. And not only that, even before Rabbi Akiva, perhaps we saw it in the case of Yosef HaTzadik v'lo yochol Yosef l'sapek l'chol anitzovim olav v'yikra hotziu kol ish me'olav lo omad ish ito bisvada Yosef el echov v'yiten es kolo bebechi. The Torah tells us in Bereishis Perek Mem Hei that when it came time for Yosef to reveal himself, he couldn't hold himself back, and therefore he told all the Egyptian officers to go away, fly the coop, and there was no one there except Yosef and his brothers, and that's when he revealed himself to his brothers, and Vayiten es kolo bebechi. Why is it that Yosef breaks out in crying at the moment that he reveals himself to his brothers after so many years of Shnos HaRav? These were years in which Yosef experienced loneliness. He felt alienated, pushed out of his family. And now Yosef is misragish when he realized what's going on here. It's matov u'mena'im sheves achim gam yachtov. He's going to be able to reach this level of matov u'manoim. And why? Because now he's reconciled himself with his brothers. That's the bechi of dveikus, that's the bechi of simcha that we spoke about earlier. Now, if we think about Rosh Hashanah and about Yom Kippur, and of course the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we would say the following: that this period of time, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is not a time of etzev, of yogon, of feeling sad and down on oneself, as if the external stimuli of that apply to a person who stands on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a result of all sorts of sad things that induce etzev. No. That's not what this period of time is all about. This is a time of simcha gedolah. This is a time of slicha mechila. There is bechi, but that's not the bechi of tsar. That's not the bechi that indicates that something in his life is causing him anguish. but rather it's something internal. It's a bechi of dveikus and gaguim, the longing of a Jew for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The emotional power that propels man to recognize the greatness of God, to thank Hashem with HaKaras HaTov. Such bechi is an outward expression of a person who sees and perceives the Hashgach of Hashem. Everything that happened was through Hashem, like Yosef says, V'atal teyotzvu v'al yichar b'einechem ki machatim osi hine machato osi heino ki lemichya shlachani elukim lifneichem. It's all part of a divine plan for good. That's the ultimate HaKaras HaTov of Yosef. And here the Bechi comes from perceiving the extent to which Hashem supervises over the people of Israel and how He protects them. He sends Yosef down L'michya to Mitzrayim in order that the members of his inner household, of the Nefashos that went down to Mitzrayim, that they would be spared and protected by Hashem during the heavy famine years, because Hashem sent Yosef down to Mitzrayim. And the drush of Chazal in Breishis Rabbah, Kishem Shalom Pies Yosef Es Echov El Bebechi, just as Yosef reconciled himself with his brothers and he cried, Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu Yagol Yisrael Mitov Bechia, that God Kaviyachu will cry at the time of the ultimate Geula, just like he cried at the original Geula. Shenemar bebechi yovo besachanun ovilem. Chazal used this very emotional, dramatic scene of Yosef and his brothers, the Pius, as a paradigm for Geula. Kishem shelo pies Yosef es echov ela bebechiyo. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino goel es Yisrael mitoch bechiyo. Shenemar bebechi yovo ubesachnunim ovilem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem the people of Israel, it's going to be the happiest moment in history. And then there's going to be a pritzas bechi, just a spontaneous outburst of crying, nel, merumam, on the highest level, loftiest level, it's Hashgachas Hashem. And then there will be a bechi of dveikus, a bechi of simcha, a bechi of recognizing Hashgacha Pratis, a bechi of HaKaras HaTov, recognizing the great redemption that Hashem has brought about. And if you take a look in the Psukim in Navi, there in Yirmiyah, Perek Vav, Perek Lamed Aleph, Ki Ko Amar Hashem, Ranu Yaakov Simcha, Vitzalu Berosh HaGoyim, Hishmiu Halalo, the Imro Hoshea Hashem Esamecha She'eris Yisrael Bebechi Yavo B'sachnunim Ovilem. It's a description of Simcha, and yet with that intense Simcha for the Geula of Yisrael, now comes the Pritzas Bechi from Levavos, from the hearts. It's an expression of the deep appreciation and sense of closeness to Hashgachas Hashem. It's a Sragshus Pnimis, it's an inner emotional state of Dveikus Hashem. That's the Bechi of Romulus HaNefesh. That's the Bechi of Yosef when he reconciles himself with his brothers. That's the Bechi of Rabbi Akiva when he cries on Shabbos, which is an Oneg Hulo, recognizing the greatness of Hashem and the Dveikus Bo. And that's the Bechi that we find Kavyochel Eitzal Kodesh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk says, B'mistorim Tivke Nafshi. And the Gemara asks in Chagiga Daf Hevu Meika Midi Bechia Kame HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such a thing as Bechia in front of Hashem. Omer HaPop Ein Atzvus Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar Hod V'Hod Lefonov Oz V'Chedva B'mkomo. There's no sadness or despair in front of Hashem. It's all Simcha, it's Oz, it's Chedva. Lo Kasha HaBebati Gavoy HaBebati Yivroi. They're the outer chambers and the inner chambers. What are the differences between the two? When the Bechi comes from inside, it's internal. That's a Bechi that is in no way contradictory or counter the Oz v'chedva experience, the Bechi of Etzev and Yeush. That's the Bechi Bibote Ivroi that comes from the outside, from external stimuli, things that get a person upset and generate anguish. But the Bechi that comes from the inside, internal demand, that's the Bote Gavoi. That's the most beautiful, lofty kind of Bechi that there is. It's the greatest, most profound expression of Simcha that comes from the Pnimius Alev. And therefore, if we go back to our original question, what exactly should we be feeling on Rosh Hashanah with regard to that paradox of Yom HaDin and Yom HaSimcha? For sure there's a great mitzvah of Simcha on the holy days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. These are Yomim Tovim for every din. There's a Sudas Yontif, there's Kiddush, there's Yisur Malacha, there's Ochol Nefesh, as every Yontif. But on the other hand, although there's a mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif, our Simcha is a Simcha like we have in any mitzvahs. We have here, of course, the mitzvah of Shofar, and that has to be done with Simcha. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shofar, Perek Ches, HaSimcha, Sheyismach Odom Basiyas HaMitzvah Ve'Avas HaKel Shetzivu Em Ravodu Gedolehi V'chol Amonea Atzmo B'Simcha Zu Roy Lipora Mimenu Shenemer Tachsa Shovaritam Hashem Alkecha B'Simcha U'Vetuv Levav. And certainly, surely, Shofar also, like any other Avoda, must have and bring a person to the state of Simcha Basiyas HaMitzvah. And it's clear, therefore, that any Bechi that emanates from tsar, from a person's moras ruach, he's a marash chore, he's upset, that's absolutely forbidden. There's no room for atzvus on a yontif. And especially a bechi that doesn't bring a person to the ultimate goal of tshuva, but rather a person has pity on himself, he's misyayish, he gives up hope, he despairs about himself, he's down on himself. That's a bechi which is not going to lead a person to tshuva. That's a bechi of self-pity. And that's the atzas yetzahara. That's bringing the person to a state of atzvus, of depression, to argosha, to a feeling that there's no tikva, there's no hope, no room for optimism. He'll never succeed in avodas Hashem. Certainly, on this high, very lofty, intense day of Kedushas Rosh Hashanah, such feelings that are engendered by the Yetzer Hara have to be excluded. They're absolutely possible. They are disqualified. And a person has to work hard to make sure that the Yetzer Hara doesn't throw him into that, you know, catch him and snarl him in that net and bring him to that Shivron Lev, to that negative kind of broken up heart and etzev and sadness. So if we ask the question, how could a person who's sad be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, it's impossible. Hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come from a profound, intense simcha to show that the king is the king, we want him to be the king, we're happy he's the king, we rely on him, we know that he is the king of kings, and we close our eyes, and even in a blind state, we still rely on Hashem. And that's when we blow the shofar, we coronate Hashem as king, we love him. This cannot be done from Etzev. On the other hand, on these lofty days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch simcha, we can get to the point of hispalus and hisragshus that will generate a different kind of Bechi, not the Bechi that we're worried and we're depressed and we're despaired and we're down on ourselves, that anguish Bechi. No, it's the second category of Bechi, the Bechi of Isorus and Dveikus Bashem, of a man becoming aware of how great Hashem's gifts are and how close he can get to Hashem. Those gaguim, those longings for the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the identification in a profound way with the, as we say in the Davening, V'yeda kol pa'ul ki ato pa'alto, V'yavin kol yitzur ki ato yitzarto, V'yomar kol asher neshama be'apo Hashem elkei Yisrael melech malchuso v'kol mashola. When we get that sense, that vision of the Malchus Vashem, in which every creature on the face of the earth, everything that was created by God, without exception, will declare that Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, that's a Bechi that comes from a lave of Simcha. That's the appropriate Bechi, the crying, that brings a person to a higher level, a more Romimus, a level of Hargosha, of his alus, of avas Hashem, of relying on Hashem, of bitachon. And we know that Hashem will be motzi as dinenu litova. That's not a bechi that chalil will bring a person to give up hope and to despair. This is the bechi not of atzmus, but adra of punfaket. This is the bechi that strengthens a person and propels him further to higher levels, new levels of avodas Hashem in the simcha of dveikus. That's the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. It's not similar to the simcha Purim or simchas Torah. There's a lot of, you know, lightheadedness on simchas Torah, on Purim, and on those days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, when every creature is called in front of Hashem in the Kisei HaKavod, and who's going to live and who the opposite, and on countries which are going to live b'shalva, and which just the opposite, Ezel Cherev, Rachmana Litzlan, Ezel Rav Chalila. On that day, the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah should appropriately be a Simcha of Kovid Rosh, not of Alitzus, of which is characteristic of Purim and Simchas Torah, but rather of Kovid Rosh Gadol, of Cherdas Hadin, Ki Hu Yom Nora V'Yom, both Tinasei Malchusecha. So that the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah should spontaneously grow out of a serious attitude of Kovid Rosh, of an appreciation of what's going on Yom HaDin, how great this moment is, this hour is. Again, we're not allowed to be mezalzel in that hargosh of Charadas HaDin. It is a Yom HaDin, and if a person feels overwhelmed and frightened by the din, because on this day, the Borei Olam, the creator of the world, is coming to judge every single individual, Mavir over Lefonov Kivnei Mora, and he decides what will happen to this person in the year to come. And Kol Rega V'Rega Nivchan V'Nigzar, every moment of the person's life is measured and decreed by Hashem. And certainly, there are many people who were here last year with us, and this year, unfortunately, are no longer with us. And for sure, we need to work hard and to petition Hashem that He should decree our din l'tova, that we should be roi to be avdei melech malchei amlochim. But together with that hargosh of chedva, of cherdas adin, of fear of judgment, of seriousness of kovid rosh, a person is not allowed to have an admixture of tzar and etzev or yeush chas v'sholom, but chedvas Hashem hima uzchem. And this is our hope, that as we come closer to Rosh Hashanah, lahavin lahaskil, when we understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about, lahamik b'einenu, to get a deeper grasp underneath the surface and reveal that this, although is the day of judgment, this is a serious day of Kovid Rosh, yet at the same time, God gave us the ability to ask and request and petition that the gzeirah, that the decree for the year to come should be a gzeirah letova. And from that perspective, we have to have absolute, secure reliance on Hashem. Everything should be b'tol simcha gedol atzuma, simcha v'amlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we were zocha, the people of Israel, that we have a melech, melech malchei amlochim, the Adon Kol, and he is, Amirtz Hashem, going to write us down, inscribe us in the Book of Life, of Chaim Tovim on this coming Yom HaDin. We read just yesterday in Parshas Nitzavim about a mitzvah Zosa Sharnochi Vitzavcha Yom, and the Ramban's understanding that that mitzvah is a reference to tshuva. HaMitzvah Zosa La Tshuva Nizkeres, that's mentioned earlier in the same chapter, Vashevosa Levavecha Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. This is the mitzvah of tshuva, and you'll take a look at the Balaturim here at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. He says that why is tshuva called ha-mitzvah? Zos is shkula, tshuva keneged kol ha-mitzvah kulon. And the Rambam tells us exactly step by step in the second chapter of Hilchas Tshuva how we arrive, how we achieve tshuva shlema, tshuva gemura. I wanted to share with you an insight and a hakira, if you will, of Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, one of the great shining lights of the Musav movement in his Sefer Kofei Or. And in turn, he quotes a book called Reishis Chachma in the first chapter of Shari Tshuva. And the Ramban that we mentioned, Amitzvah Zosi HaTshuva, he writes, L'dayti Yoshev Apostle Ki Karve Lecha Dover Miyod Beficha Bilvavcha Lasoso. What does it mean, referring to Tshuva, that it's Beficha Bilvavcha? He says, Hainu Beficha Vidui. We have an obligation of verbal confession, Vidui Dvarim. And Tzorech L'Svados Vidui Dvarim. And Bilvavcha is the Kabbalah's Tshuva Belibo. And the Aziva Sachet. And we know that Tshuva is made up of three major parts. The Aziva Sachet, termination of evil. Kabbalah Alahaba. And a resolution on the future, never to repeat that sin. And finally, Charot Alahavah, to feel remorse and regret about the past. And even though we need Charota, perhaps we could say that Charota is part of vidui. In other words, when we get to beficha, and we said beficha zu vidui dvarim, then a person who's misvade, it's meaningless to recite a confession unless he's mischarit, unless he has a regret regarding the past. We could say perhaps that aziva sachet is included under bilvavcha. Meaning, Bilvavcha means Kabbalas Halev. But Bechozos, he writes, Tzorech Tam, Mazeh Sheparakos of Avidui Vakabbalah Belev, Aloha Ikar. Even if I agree and I accept this possibility that Charota is a subcategory of Vidui and Kabbalah Alahaba is a subcategory of Lev, of Tshuva Shebelev, and therefore we have the various elements here in Beficha Belvavcha, but it's a bit strange that it takes the Telfel instead of the Ikar, instead of mentioning Kabbalah Salev as Charota and Aziva Sachet, all these fundamental elements that define Tshuva, as the Rambam would have it. Instead it says Beficha Belvavcha Vidui and Kabbalah Satshuva. Where's the Aziva Sachet? Where's the Kabbalah Salev? Where are all the elements of Tshuva? And perhaps that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Ki karov eilecha hadavar mi'od beficha bilvavcha lasosa. Tshuva is considered by the Torah to be something easy. Why? Because only it's beficha bilvavcha. Those parts of tshuva that are beficha bilvavcha, those are the easy parts. However, what is the most difficult part? That's the darkei tshuva. That's what the pasuk says, ki azov rasha darko v'yishovim ashevosov, that he should have regret and remorse about his sin. And he may have sinned many, many times and repeated that same sin. It's very difficult for him to conquer the Yetzirah, to leave that Derech Hara, and instead go on a path of Derech HaTov. So when the Pasuk says, Ki karve lecha dover mi'od b'fichu b'vav m'ksoso, what's really saying is that the Chelkei Tshuva, Vidui, and Kabbalah B'lev, those are b'fichu b'vavcha. V'lo yichlol b'chlal kol ha'inyan ikar aziva sachet v'charoto, ki ha'tshuva hi b'emes hu dover. So that part of tshuva which is relatively easy, that's beficha bilvavcha. But we cannot include the aziva sachet, the charota, the kabbalah, all those major elements that define the essence of tshuva, which require a person to leave the derech ra and accept the derech hatov. That cannot be classified as ki karov eilecha davar, as something that's easy to achieve. The Rambam has not only azivas achet, and the Rambam writes the yigmar belibo shelo yaseu od. He's got a not only termination of sin, but also a kabbalah belev, a resolution for the future. Number three, he has yisnachem al ha'ovar. He's got to feel remorse about the past. And finally, tzorach lisvados b'sfasav, he needs vidui. So really what we could say is that as far as azivas achet, that is related to kabbalah al halahava. It's just one step beyond that. Sheyigmar belibo shelo yaseu od. That's the azivas achet that expresses itself in a resolution for the future. And im yazov achot echeto, if he succeeds in terminating sin, v'lo yosef od lechto, is kol zman shel yikabel olav belibo gam al lahava shelo yoshev achet. In other words, the tshuva requires not just that he terminate his sin and leave that derech hara behind him, and it's not just enough to be makabel belev, a resolution on the future, but rather we need another element in order to clinch the tshuva. Ein ze tshuva v'lo yenimcha lo avono af im lo yoshuv od lezachet. Even if he doesn't repeat the sin, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of tshuva. He has aziva sachet, but he needs kabbalah belev halahava shelo yoshev lezachet. And so too with regard to yisnachem, he needs vidui. The charata has to be accompanied by vidui dvarim lisvados besvasov. And even though vidui incorporates many different elements, as we saw in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Teshuva, nevertheless, the vidui of Yisnachem, of Charata, is the main, how shall I say, essential quality of vidui. And vidui is anachnu v'avoseinu chatonu, that's the ikra of vidui, as we see in this, in both the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. And therefore we have basically two fundamental elements in tshuva. We have charata and we have azivas achet. And ein ze davar kal, these are not easy things to achieve. The avoda and the kvishas hayetzer is very challenging. To leave behind us a derech ra, to be careful and accept upon ourselves shmiras haTorah v'mitzvos. However, the two related elements, which is vidui dvarim and kabbalah lahaba, those are relatively easy, because once he's ozev esachet, once he's mischared al ha'ovar, it's very easy for him to create a kabbalah lahaba and a vidui besvasayim. And therefore, tshuva on the one hand is very difficult, but on the other hand is very easy. But at this point in the presentation, the kochvei or of Rabbi Itzel Blazer takes a little bit of a turn, and he says, "Gam shnei ikrei tshuva shal aziva sachet v'charata." No, it's not only the kabbalah, but also the charata. Lo nechshav klal ledavar kaved b'tzarchei atshuva, b'darkei atshuva. Excuse me. We shouldn't see these elements of aziva sachet and charata as difficult and onerous burdens of tshuva. Ki ein liyaches osam klal al cheshben atshuva asher yisodehi amachilo lechatoim vilapshoim. Ki aziva sachet ein ze imo ein ze inyon asher umoshach mikocho midas atshuva shebar kodesh baruch bolomo lekabel shovim. This concept of aziva sachet is not something external, that's something that comes through Darchei HaTshuva, and the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created an entity called Tshuva Kapara, it's built in. And even if there were no Midas HaTshuva in this world, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was not Mocha V'Soleach L'Shavim, nevertheless there would still be a necessity, an absolute necessity for the Chote to be Ozev V'Sachet, to leave the Chet behind, and to be Makabal on himself that he should never repeat that sin. And that's absolutely necessary, because a Jew is called upon to fulfill the will of God. And those mandates have to be fulfilled, and he has to desist from violating those mandates. And therefore, those elements of Aziva Sachet and Charata are built into the nature of the sin and the response to sin. It's not to be viewed or classified within the context of tshuva, which is a creation of Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created tshuva, slicha kapara. Now, Bosai, there's much more here in the Kofei Or. I don't think that we'll have time right now to complete it. Let's therefore end with a tefillah and a bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should have the simcha and the chedva of Rosh Hashanah. We should dedicate ourselves during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, as we did in El, but even more intensely, to Tshuva, to Aziva Sachet, to Charata, to Vidui Dvarim, to Kabbalah Belev, Kabbalah Haba, and with that Tshuva, Mitzvah Vizocha, B'Yom Hadin, L'Hikasev, V'Lichasem, V'Sifrei Tzadikim, Kei Yiratzon, Amen.